You know what it is?
Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show on the way. Got a full squad in the building. Got a bunch of sports to talk about. We want to thank you, our listener, as always, for spending some of your evening with the nonsense it is we do around here. We also want to thank our guy, president of the Miami Heat. I don't think it's the same Patrick Riley, but shout out to Patrick Riley, a real estate professional with Century 21 Select, specializing in properties in Chico and Butte Meadows. Patrick is dedicated to helping buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals with kind, quality service. Patrick can be reached at 588-6593 and on Facebook. As always, thank you to Patrick Riley for sponsoring the show. Doing a little moonlighting there, it appears. Running an organization that is in the Eastern Conference Finals for the third time in 4 years, and working with Century 21 Select just to help you buy real estate in Chico and Butte Meadows, which is awesome.
The dude cares, man.
Yeah, you got to give him credit.
The dude cares.
You know, you make a trade for Jimmy Butler when you have really no trade assets. You get rid of Hassan Whiteside. You bring in Jimmy Butler, and you sell real estate in Butte Meadows.
He's going to get you an extra $50K on that house of yours, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to do it.
Patrick Riley.
My man.
Local legend. Shout out to him. From the Showtime Lakers to winning a chip with the Knicks. I mean, this guy's done it all.
Everything.
To selling real estate locally.
Wow.
My guy.
He's certainly come far.
He really has.
Yeah.
From being a basketball Hall of Famer, once again, to selling real estate locally. That's our guy.
Patrick Riley.
You can check him out on Facebook. Again, you can hit him up at 588-6593. Patrick Riley.
Ask him which ring was his favorite.
He does have a bunch of them that he likes to drop on the table.
Yeah, he does. He's got a few.
All right, well, we're good to go. Stepman Brad, are you good to go?
I'm good.
Let's go.
This. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
You know the drill. We are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I'm your co-host, Jero. Got my partner in crime, co-creator of the show with me, Derek Isomaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
We have our resident degenerate. If you got it, then spend it, because you can't take this money with you. And if you didn't listen last week to Rudy's advice, shame on you. You are poorer than you should be, because my man would have got you pay. Hey! Rudy Vasquez.
Kitty Yama.
Yes, sir. Chico's very own.
Oh, man. That felt good.
And we got the Mac Daddy himself, the motorcyclist, the one and only, Stepman Brad.
Yeah.
All right. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, boy, do we have a loaded show for you. We have playoffs. We have other stuff.
Wow, way to sell it.
We have so much other stuff. We have hockey playoffs. We have the PGA Championship. We have horse racing. Yeah, that's right. We have horse racing for you. What else do we have? Soccer.
Yeah, dude, everything. And we won't get to any of it.
Yeah, we probably...
We won't get to half of it. Half of it will be your imagination.
That's correct.
You'll be able to talk about it in your own head.
Yeah.
So you're welcome.
We'll spend most of the show dilly-dallying, and then at the end of the show, we'll be like, wow, we ran out of time again. That's weird.
How dare we do that? Yeah. And I just also want to say a happy U-Haul day to everyone out there right now.
Yes, sir.
This is a good U-Haul day.
Yeah.
All
the Chico locals right now, we can spread our wings and venture into the downtown world right
and
now.
Live.
And live a little bit.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. Because, Derek, there is something beautiful about U-Haul Day, and there is a palpable change in the air.
It's so instantaneous. It's like
it
that
is.
Day. It's like,
I am telling you, let me walk you through my ride through Lower Bidwell Park today. So during my lunch break, I wanted to go to the gym. I was like, man, by the time I get there and get back, I'm just not going to have that much time to work out. But I can go for a quick ride. Do 45 minutes on the bike. That's great.
Nice little cardio sesh.
Exactly. So I head to the park. On my way into the park, no less than 5 people just waved at me today.
They're back.
A good-looking fella riding the opposite direction put his hand out. We just high-fived. Okay. Shortly after that, there's 2 girls in, just sitting in the water. They both turn to me and wave. I'm like, this is Chico summer, baby. I will deal with the heat if this is how people are going to treat me. And this is how we treat each other in Chico. The second summer starts, as soon as U-Haul Day gets here, everyone gets a little happier. I can see it. I can feel it in the room. We're ready. This is the time to live in Chico. This is the best time to be a Chico resident.
You earn it, though. You sweat your balls off.
Yeah. It does. But it gets a little toasty. But
it could be a lot worse out there.
It could be Arizona.
It could be Arizona.
That's
true. You could be in Florida.
Yeah.
Or Texas.
Yeah.
I'll take this heat over that.
Yeah. You could be anywhere in the South where it's humid.
Yeah.
All that stickiness. Yeah.
No.
You just walk outside and you start
not
sweating.
Not down for that.
We got a little dry heat up here at least. Yeah.
I gotta tell you, Texas this past weekend, pretty nice.
Not bad. Okay.
Yeah. It was in the 80s. Pretty nice.
What part of Texas?
Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah. It said I had a constant warning for a thunderstorm. 0 thunderstorms. It was nice.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. Make sure you go follow us on IG, TBP, Not a Game. You can check us out there right now. Ow, ow! You get a little behind-the-scenes action. You can see what we're doing, and when we go to break, you can hear all the vile stuff we discuss.
Shenanigans.
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 Gens.
All right. Let's talk NBA playoffs. What the hell happened to the Celtics? ESPN gave the Heat a 0% chance at winning this series. Vegas, I think, had them at 3% going into this series. And the Heat are up 3-0 after taking the first 2 games in Boston, snatching their soul. There's few things that this group collectively enjoys more than drinking Boston tears. And boy, do we have a lot of them.
They're flowing right now. They're delicious. And you got to say, wow. This is an eight seed right now. Miami is about to make their way into the finals right now.
And this is a true 8 seed. Remember, they lost their first play-in game to Atlanta, okay? To Atlanta. They then went on to barely beat the Bulls. And all they've done since then is get a little bit of help with Giannis injuring his back. And then just dominating squads. And the crazy thing is thus far, the Knicks have given the Heat the best fight.
Which is sad because that Knicks team was garbage. And I think anyone was watching all the playoffs realize that Knicks team was tough to watch all around. Julius Randle has weird tendencies of being like the worst basketball player at times, but also being like amazing too. It's a weird dichotomy that he has.
I call it the Jordan Poole effect.
He does. He has those moments. But the thing that Jordan Poole doesn't have that Julius Randle does is this look of absolute homelessness. Julius Randle has this look that he does, like he lives on the streets of New York.
He's been in the streets
for
a minute.
He's been all over there.
Yeah.
But they got rid of him, and now you got Miami doing their thing in Boston. Those tears are probably some of the sweetest out there. I think of all the tears in all the fandom.
I agree.
Boston fans are nice. I mean, obviously, like Giant fan tears too. But I think collectively, we can agree.
Yeah,
Boston fans are really good. Philly fans are getting up there too. Philly fans are making their way
Philly
and making
and
some really tasty tears right now.
Yeah, Philly, Boston, New York. I would say top three markets that I want to taste their tears.
All of them.
Yeah.
Give me it to them.
Jimmy Butler. I feel like collectively as a group, we've all been big Jimmy Butler fans just because of the man he is and his antics and just. Also, he looks like our boy Jordan and acts like our boy Jordan.
He's got the irrational confidence that's not really irrational because he backs it up.
Yeah.
And the guy has just got this persona, this mentality that's just so he can be a killer but an absolute softy at the same time. Like the dude loves like Vanessa Carlton.
Yeah.
But he'll drop 50 on you. He'll shove it down your throat, like right then and there. But while he's listening to country music, you know?
That's right.
It's like shouts to Jimmy for kind of breaking that mold and being his own self right now. And it's awesome to see
him
taking this team right now.
I think Is there a player right now in the NBA that you can think of that has a higher approval rating than Jimmy Butler?
I would say Giannis had a chance if he didn't have his little failure moment. You know,
yeah,
that really knocked
that
him down a couple.
He was way up there. Giannis is a great call.
He's a classy dude. He has a lot of fun with all the fans. He never really gets in a bad situation, but he didn't have that killer mentality I think we love to see in that type of guy. And that's what Jimmy has. He's ruthless, you know, and it's awesome. And seeing him finally have this team under, like, he being the one on this team, good for the man. About time.
If you don't know, this has been the Stroking song, if you haven't heard it. This is what Jimmy Butler played in the locker room after they defeated the Knicks.
When I start making love, I don't just make love, I be stroking. That's what I be doing. I be stroking. I stroke it to the east, and I stroke it to the west. I stroke it to the woman that I love the best. I be stroking.
Love it.
That's right.
This
is
beautiful.
That coupled with some Nickelback. A little, what's that Wallen's name? The
Morgan Wallen.
Morgan Wallen, thank you. Little Morgan Wallen in the locker room. Not exactly what you expect from a 29-year-old black guy. He's 32.
Or basketball locker room in general.
Yeah. In general,
Or locker room in general. Take away the sport, like any sport. I think that's kind of a weird combination of music right there.
He's 33. Yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
They're even better. Give me hope.
If y'all remember, Jimmy Butler wore the dreads all offseason just to take the photo for media day in the grandma dreads and then immediately take out the dread extensions. Just a legend. And he is our kind of guy. A guy who does not take himself too serious but takes everything very serious. Mm-hmm. That is who we are as a show, and he represents everything we love.
In his timeout call in that game, taunting Al Horford with the same
beautiful
way.
Beautiful. Snatch this soul.
That was chef's kiss right there.
Legend.
And Celtics, this is what you get for wearing stupid jerseys.
Yeah, that's correct.
Your jerseys, your selection have been awful.
You have a classic
awful
jersey.
You do. Like,
classic jersey.
Why don't green. Keep it simple.
I don't want to give you the credit, but I had to because you got classic jerseys. Yep. That green and white jersey, classic. Keep it that way. And you're bringing in this off-force green-looking thing right now? No, it's disgusting. It's
Nike,
vile.
You done gone too far.
Nike has really ruined the basketball jerseys right
they
now.
Really
100%. Yeah. I mean, they had the debacle when they first came out, and they were ripping way too easily. And now they just look garbage.
Bring back Reebok, baby.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Wow.
I would just say,
wow.
Okay.
Fila?
I don't want Reebok or Adidas jerseys because I only wear Nike shoes, so I would like to match. But I will say, Nike, let's just dial it back a little bit.
Go back to the Reebok days.
Less is
how
more.
They did it, you know?
Less is more.
Less is more.
It really is. For those, especially when it comes to playoff time, we're getting too many weird color combinations out
Cleveland
there.
Cleveland Classic, like, during the playoffs.
Please. I need just your home whites and your away colors right
That's
there.
That's it.
That's all you should be rocking.
At most, you get a throwback.
Maybe one throwback. Yeah. Or maybe a special day or something. Like I said, I always
We don't get Cityscape jerseys or the City Edition. None of that. We don't need any of that.
That's for regular season.
When the Lakers were playing in San Francisco, and the entire home crowd was the same color as the Lakers.
That's
wrong.
That annoys me too.
Thank you. Why aren't you rocking your yellow jerseys, Warriors, at that time? You're wearing your black jerseys right then. Yeah. No,
couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a bad
that
look.
Is annoying.
Could not agree more, my friend. You really hit it on the head there. I don't know what's going on with the Celtics. This team, I feel bad for Mazzulla. They're probably going to fire him. It's not his fault.
Not at all.
This squad is mentally weak. They've proven it time and time again.
I hate the fact that Jason Tatum is so closely related to Kobe Bryant. You know,
I am so tired of the Kobe comparisons.
Right now. Wait, is he actually related to
him? No, he's not related. Just his connection.
Oh,
yes,
trained together. Yes. He trained him for two off seasons.
You know what Kobe never did? Score 51 in a game 7, and then follow that up with losing 3 straight to an 8 seed. Okay,
yeah.
What are we doing? And if Jason Tatum didn't have that second half or that fourth quarter in game 6. In that game 7, we're all calling him a bum and wondering if he is you know, a top 10 player in the league. And I've been saying for 2 years now that he is overrated.
You have not liked him.
Yes, I don't like his game.
You have not liked him at all.
I don't like, because he's not mentally tough. Kobe, his idol, God bless him, he's shooting in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
For better or worse, my man was shooting in the fourth quarter. And he was going to go, he's going down with the ship. And the ship was Kobe.
I'm just going to say, they can't have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the same team anymore.
No, that's going to get blown up.
It's going to get
sure.
blown up for sure.
It has to. It needs to.
It just doesn't, it's not working. It's a weird combo with them. Worked. And ever since Jason Tatum did his I'm humbly one of the best players in the league right now.
Yeah. It's gone downhill. So.
I love it.
It's been phenomenal to see this crash happening in real life right now.
I will say, I think the most accurate statement about what the Celtics are was from Malcolm Brogdon saying, they have no identity when it comes to their team. Outside of, like, their defense, they rely on that, but that's so inconsistent.
Their defense, where's it been in this series?
Exactly. It's been so inconsistent, but they don't have an identity as a team. The only teams that actually have had an identity this whole season, and then especially coming into playoffs, has been Miami and Denver. They've stuck to that. They've played their game, and this is what's happening. There's a possibility of a sweep.
I think
on both
saying
ends.
Miami stuck to their identity is a giant overstep, considering Miami was by far the worst offense coming into this postseason, and the worst shooting three-point team, I believe, in the league. And they are dominating from three land against. Did I just say from three land?
From three land.
I'm sorry.
This has got to be a lot of credit on Eric Spoelstra right now.
Guy's a genius.
He's got undrafted players out there doing more work than the Celtics. And that's just insane to think about. That this Celtics team that is all built up and had all this. All the talk was on them. Everyone think that East was theirs, essentially. It was like them or the Milwaukee. One of them was going to take it either way. And I wish they didn't get past this round. I wish Philly was here. I feel Philly would put up a better fight on this one. You need to have Embiid out there really trying. Because I know Embiid got his. We went through Embiid already. But he at least kind of has something out there. He has some toughness about him.
For Tatum, them to lay down, and in particular Tatum and Brown in this series, when Grant Williams and Rob Williams are the only dudes that seem to have any fight and competitiveness in them
on the whole roster,
it's unreal, man. Yeah. It is unreal.
You're relying on was it Grant Williams who gotten or was it Robert Williams that gotten
Grant Williams. Jimmy Butler's
face right now? It's got to be Tatum doing that. Tatum or Jaylen Brown have to be the one going
They're
after.
They're
got to be after going Jimmy Butler in that situation, and you're relying on. Not to say anything bad about Grant Williams, but
he is the number three or four on that team.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the crazy part is the highest pick on this Heat roster is Cody Zeller.
Yep.
Is that number four pick back in 13.
Yeah, they have seven undrafted players rotating in that rotation.
And that
that
dude,
is crazy.
That dude, my goodness. He's rough to look at.
Hold on.
My goodness.
He has no hair. His hairline is.
Listen,
he looks like a.
He's gone.
Looks like a sixth grade history teacher.
If you're going to be a tall, clumsy looking white fella in the NBA, do not wear all black high tops. It makes you look so incredibly slow. And listen, obviously, this entire room could play Cody Zeller 4-on-1, and we'd get smoked. We know that.
100%.
Yeah. Well, except for Brad, though. Remember Brad?
Well, that's right. That's
except
right.
For Brad. Brad's a legend.
Brad would probably give him.
Jordan would give it to him, too, as well.
That's right. Jordan's not here, but he is the most.
You don't remember?
No.
Oh.
Didn't you say you would get 6 points in an NBA game?
Oh, yes. 100%.
I'm hitting two threes, guys. I'm just shooting.
If you give me a full season, I could do it. In one game, I could get it.
But either way, Cody Zeller.
Is he from Duke, North Carolina, or where did he go to?
Indiana.
Way off.
Yeah.
Way off.
But
I mean, he looks like
he
it.
Looks
100%
like a
looks
that
like
would
he
come
he,
from
yep.
that spot.
More or less North Carolina, but
he does look
digress.
So clunky when he's out there.
Though. Yes.
It's
the murder one high tops that he's wearing.
It's got cement bricks on him right there. He really does, looking at his photo, look like he should be
just a
like
reminder, in game three or game two, Cody Zeller caught the ball out of bounds, and it was game three, and they still proceeded to win by almost 30 points. What happened to the Celtics? It's unreal. What this team is just mentally disheveled. They got to switch it up in the offseason. Man.
When you have a chance to go down 3-0, and that's the game you put out there, That's just unforgivable.
It's no heart, no going, fight, losing, no nothing.
Losing, there's zero dog.
Yeah,
in the,
no dog.
Zero dog. I don't even think there's a puppy in there.
No, there's not a little Pomeranian in there. Yeah. Not a little Chihuahua. Chihuahuas
it's
are vicious.
Just, it's just a human heart in there. That's all they got.
That's it.
Okay,
no dog working. In that no squad. Right. No dog. At least your Lakers, huh?
I mean, they at least put up a fight in game three, no
they
doubt.
Put up a fight. They put up a fight in every game.
In every but game, this, but we still, we're just outmatched.
Yeah.
They're way better team than us.
Denver
top
is
to bottom.
So good.
Denver's the number one seed for a reason. They've been good all season. They kind of took the last month of the regular season off. I am convinced. Now, we need a larger sample size, but the regular season is meaning less and less. When you have the Lakers as a 7 seed, Miami as an 8 seed, in the conference finals, it's
weird. Something happened to
the
you.
The NBA's got a problem that they got to figure out there. I will give your Lakers credit. At least they are putting up a fight and seem like they care, which I cannot say about the Boston Celtics. But it's curtains for you guys.
It is, yeah, at this point in time. We can't in any way, shape, or form stop Jokic. Anthony Davis is having great games, and we're still losing. And that was, if he was doing it, our role players aren't doing what they're supposed to do. We missed the Rui game that we had a chance to get taken game three, but
and game one. Too.
I mean, D'Angelo Russell has been terrible. That's been rough.
Oh my god, he's been embarrassing.
But that being said, I do have to give it to good old Rob Lowe out there to putting this team together on the trade deadline. And
Rob Lowe.
Rob Palenka, man. He's Rob Lowe in Laker form right there. And either it's just it's a how they're able to get this team together when they started off so terribly.
Yeah, 100%.
Testament to the organization how they do that, but you're still missing a couple pieces.
And they're Lonnie Walker game four away from maybe not even being here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Shout out to the Lakers, except for D'Angelo Russell. I've lamented how much I dislike his game. And we're finally all getting to see it together.
I wanted to like him so much.
Yeah, I mean, he had his flashes here and there.
I mean, the ice in the veins was a fun little little cherry on top, but that's all you ever got, I feel.
Yeah,
that was about it.
Yeah, well, you need to bring that in the Western Conference finals.
I need more ice in them veins, baby. Okay? Yeah, I need some frostbite out there.
A little more ice. A little more ice. So it looks like we're headed to a Denver-Miami
One versus
finals.
An eight.
Yeah.
A one versus an eight. Love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Which has to be Adam Silver's nightmare. He did not want this. But
I will say, though, as much as this nightmare it is, he also loves the fact that Miami is the playing game that has made it this far.
That's fair.
He will say, it's like, the playing games are working. You actually have a chance, even though you really don't. It's just the season has been, the regular season was very odd. It didn't, you know, it's not your typical season right now. Yeah. Players are getting a little more accustomed to realizing, hey, as long as we get in the playoffs, that's all that matters. And that's a tough place to be because, we do want the playoffs. The playoffs are what matter. But you don't want to lose the regular season either because that's fun. You know, that's the great stuff. That's more games there, and I can go see regular season game more than I can the playoff game.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Jim Brown died.
He gone.
Jim Brown, a legend for a multitude of reasons. As far as an NFL player, I would say he's the second greatest player in the history of the NFL, right behind Jerry Rice. What he did as a running back, and then what Jim Brown represented, at least to me, was everything we love about hypermasculinity and being a man, and everything we hate, right? This is the man who moved to LA and became a spokesperson and worked with gang members. And living in LA, he left his door unlocked so gang members at any time could come over to Jim Brown's house because nobody's messing with Jim Brown. That guy was a man. He also had a very sketchy, to say the least, history with women. Accused, allegedly threw an 18-year-old woman off a balcony at one point in his life. A lot of speculation about younger women, a lot of alleged stuff that I'm not going to spend too much time in. But again, the definition, the things you love about hypermasculinity and the things you hate, but what he was as a player, what he was as an advocate, what he was to the black community, he was about it. And a legend in those respects. What I would say on the negative side, because far too often when someone passes away, we say we give them their flowers then, and it's all how great they were. But let's be honest about it. When it comes to some of the allegations with women, this is something that he never once owned. And one of the things I think we all appreciate about other folks is when they can own their mistakes. And for six decades, allegations of mistreating, abusing women, he vehemently denied, even though he went to jail over it, after smashing up his, I think, girlfriend's car. And he could have copped the plea and got out of it, but his excuse was that it was my car, I owned it, so I could beat it. Hypermasculine.
Technically speaking.
I mean,
you know, he's not wrong.
But also just copped the plea. Hell of a guy all the way around. The things you love, the things you hate about hypermasculinity, but what he was on the field is, again, in my opinion, the second greatest football player of all time. And I don't know that there's much of a debate there. And get out of here with Tom Brady. Tom Brady, you could argue, is the greatest quarterback. Jerry Rice and Jim Brown, look at their numbers in the era they played. Tom Brady never put up numbers like that. He never put up stats like that. So I don't want to hear that argument. He was the second greatest player of all time, in my opinion. So rest in peace, Jim Brown, for better, for worse. I mean, think about this. In the 60s, what he did for the black community, what he did, there was no other athlete transitioning and becoming a movie star. He led the way for athletes to become movie stars.
That's how I know Jim Brown.
White, black, or whatever.
He became the token black guy in a lot of movies.
He was, yes, yeah. He did a lot of blaxploitation movies.
Shouts to Jefferson from The Dirty Dozen, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, great call. Yeah.
That's how I know Jim Brown, unfortunately. That's like, when I think of Jim Brown, Jefferson from...
Fair enough. It's not like any of us were actually watching him play football. And I would say, when you're memorializing a guy from that age, don't put his plays in slow motion. It looks like they're moving even slower.
Yeah, like just follow the play. Just show the play as is.
Yeah, stop doing the slow motion. It does them no justice. It looks like, oh my God, everyone's so slow then.
It makes me wonder, well, that was a weird statement. I do wonder how well his game would have transitioned in today's NFL, you know? Because obviously he was a beast of a guy too.
Yeah.
Wasn't he like 6'3", like 250 or something like that?
Absolute monster.
And that's like such a... I kind of pictured him as like a Derrick Henry-esque type of guy, I feel.
Okay.
You know?
I can see that.
Maybe not as big, but especially in that era too, I could just see a whole bunch of guys being like scared out of their minds trying to stop that guy.
6'2", 230.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's still, for a running back?
Solid. At that time?
At that time.
Yeah, you're towering over everyone.
Yeah.
That was also like the size of your offensive line at that time. You're probably
Bigger. Yeah, exactly. Bigger than them.
Yeah, your offensive line was maybe 250.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, different times we lived in.
Going back to the Nuggets and Heat's matchup, there were plus 25,000 in April for that matchup to happen.
The Nuggets and Heat to match up in the finals?
Yeah.
Wow.
A better put $50 and win $12,500 April 11th.
Good for him.
Wow.
Unreal. Shout out to him.
I hate hearing those stories. I'm sorry. I'm tired of hearing all these crazy parlays because, like, oh, I want to do it. It's like, no, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen to me.
Listen to your boy and it happened.
I'm just saying those one-off ones, I can put a dollar on it and turn it into $100,000. I just saw this one where a guy turned a $50 bet into almost $200,000 because he bet on the first buckets in the last two games for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And
was it Kevin Love?
Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Kevin Love to make the first two baskets. And he made, I think it was $50, turned it into $198,000.
When you combine those, they just...
Jim Brent played in the 60s?
Yeah.
All right, so the average size of linemen was 6'3", 250.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
he was a lineman who was running like a 4'4".
The lineman didn't break on average 300 until the 90s.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were on average 6'4 back then. So they haven't really grown much, but they've gotten wider.
It is crazy how much bigger they are now, though.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see that. Just like the comparisons of the teams.
Yeah.
It would be night and day.
Yeah.
Probably literally. Racism.
Gosh. Stereotypes, not racism.
Stereotypes, okay. Yes.
Stereotypes. See, racism, never funny. Stereotypes, often, they can be funny.
Funny undertones.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I think the idea of racism has the idea that you think lesser of the person with that skin color.
Yeah.
As opposed to, it's just discrimination, maybe.
Correct.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hatred.
Defining words.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what people came here for.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It's a good English lesson.
Call me Noah Webster.
Lakers up at 3 points in the first quarter. Let's go.
Oh.
We're not going to get swept. I just jinxed it. We're going to get
swept. There you go.
What is it, 3-0 right now? 3-0?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What was the score?
23-20.
Oh, wow. Well.
I gotta imagine they're not going to get swept just because I don't see LeBron doing that.
Yeah,
but
we're...
This is a...
No, 100%.
This is a team right now of Denver that is led by a crazy Serbian.
And his two brothers in every game.
Yeah.
That are terrifying.
Yes.
You guys see them talking smack to Jack...
Nicholas.
Yeah, last game. That was pretty funny.
I feel like kind of punching down there a little
bit. Yeah.
Jack doesn't deserve that.
He's, what, 80-something?
Yeah. He looks awful, too, Jack Nicholas. If you haven't seen him, it's sad to see, because like, as a Laker fan, you see him there every single time.
Every
so you
game,
see his progression, and his progressed very badly lately.
Yeah.
So shouts to Jack Nicholson, probably not around for much longer.
No.
Oh, my God. He just killed Jack Nicholson.
Well, not yet. Give him his flowers right now. You want to give him when he's alive, okay? Here's Johnny.
All right, let's reset the show. All right. This is Talking About Practice. We're made possible by friends over at Butte College, announcing their summer class schedule. Knock out general ed class or pursue the skills you need to jumpstart your career by taking classes at Butte College, Glen Center, Chico Center, Main Campus, or online. Summer sessions begin June 12th. Visit butte.edu/start and make this summer all about putting the heat on your success. The heat putting that heat on that success in Boston. I tried there. It didn't work.
No.
A valiant effort.
Was it?
Not really.
Nah.
That was better. Well, anyway, this is Talking About Practice right here on FM 90.1 KZFR. Chico, we are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Looking forward to getting into to some golf here shortly. Talk about our guy, Kurt Kitayama. But first, we gotta get y'all caught up with what's going on around the world. Derek Kismacki has the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news. Derek Kismacki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, I'll start off, got a couple few stories for you right now. Two that are going to make you feel as inadequate as possible out there. And one more to make you second guess helping out every once in a while. Now, it's sad. It's a sad story, but I'm going to start there right now. So a man, you ever go driving in the car, you might see animals crossing. You always want to do your best to let them cross, you know?
Always.
Help them out.
Yeah.
Especially if you see like young ones, like a pair of ducks, some ducklings right there.
Cubs.
They got to get across. Cubs, something.
Puppies,
let them out there.
Whatever it is.
So a man was out there in a situation where he saw a duck and her ducklings trying to cross a road and on a busy street. So what he's going to do, he stops his car and helps them get along the way. What a nice little statement.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for him, you're still on a highway. There's still cars driving by. Not everyone sees everything. My man, unfortunately, got hit by a car after he was returning to his car after guiding these ducks out and did not make it.
Damn.
So always be careful out there, people.
Oh,
when you want to help out,
what?
It doesn't always end better for you. I understand you want to help out, but again,
dude,
careful out there. Look both ways.
Wow.
Tough one to go. Tough way to go.
That's like getting the ultimate karma instantly not working.
Not working. The sad part is
His
12-year-old son was in the car and watched it all.
Oh!
So, yeah. We're going to have some trauma in there.
R.I.P.,
man.
That's a tough one. That sucks.
I get it. Want to help the ducks. But again, keep an eye out there.
Yeah.
You know?
On the freeway?
It was just on a street.
Still, it was fast enough for him to get struck by a car.
You have a 2-ton anything hitting you in any little fashion.
It's a wrap.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Tough letter right there.
Damn.
So, yeah, tough one out there for all our California drivers. Be careful out there on the roads, people. Please.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough out there already.
It's scary out there.
It is.
Yeah.
We have too many accidents for too many ignorant drivers out there.
Dude,
pay attention.
I almost got hit today backing out of the gym parking lot.
There you go. People
are not paying attention. It's like,
pay attention, and as always, as I say, if you know the show well, you know how much I press. Follow the rules of the road.
Yes. They're simple.
They're simple. They're there for a reason.
Yes.
Stop trying to be courteous. Don't wave me on when it's your turn to go. Just go.
It's your time to go. Yep.
All of the above.
Oh, man.
All right, so we move on from that heart-wrenching story to make you feel, as I said, inadequate as possible for you, because I felt it right away, the moment I was reading these stories. I don't know about you guys, but we always see those Instagrams of those animals that are doing stuff. They're making, you're like, how much are those animals making? When they have like a lot of followers, you're wondering. You're out there wondering, like, is it something that you can actually live off of? Well, apparently, for this family and their dog, Tucker.
That's a good name.
They're doing just fine. My boy Tucker is a 5-year-old golden retriever. He's glorious. He's a very picturesque dog. If you see this dog, you'd be like, yeah. I would see Tucker. I would definitely take Tucker, for sure. Now, this Tucker is making, on his Instagram page, $1 million a year.
What?
$1 million a year, the dog is.
What are we doing over here, guys?
While their owner, Courtney, and her husband are getting roughly $40,000 to $60,000 for every ad they post.
Ooh.
And we're able to quit both their jobs to take care of Tucker full-time.
Awesome.
That's amazing. That's at any point in time, I hate everything about that story.
He is a sassy-looking dog.
He's a sassy one. He's got a face about him. It's a broody little face.
Oh, that
and
dog
he's cute.
That dog right here, yeah.
You've seen it. If you've been on any social media, you have seen my boy Tucker.
Dog's a multi-millionaire.
3.4 followers. If you're wondering about the shortage of labor in this country...
Exhibit A.
Boom.
Right.
Yeah. We got dogs doing absolutely nothing, making $1 million. And people thinking, like, oh, I'm managing my dog right now. Like, that's your job.
I mean,
feel like they should... I'm a dog manager.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
I mean, I'd take that job.
I was going to say, you got like 6 or 7 years of prime golden years.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Derek's a dog manager of our pup when we go out of town, and all he gets is a stupid shirt.
A shot glass and a high five.
I get the companionship of a great dog.
That's worth every penny.
Right. That's all I ever need right now. Right. Well, if you want to give me $1 million, I would definitely sign me up.
I would love to be able to position to give you $1 million.
That would be very nice.
Yeah. It'd be great for everyone.
So once again, Tucker, doing better in life than you are. Now, we move on to somebody else who's doing better than all of us here.
Ah, come on.
Because it gets better. It gets better right now. Because we go over to a 12-year-old Fullerton kid who just graduated from Fullerton College with 6 associate's degrees.
Wow.
I'm sorry, 5. 5 associate degrees. Going for a 6th one this next year. Again, 12 years old. My name,
12?
Clovis Hung, is doing some good work out there. 12 years old, 5 associate degrees. Now, Fullerton does have a cool little program where you don't have to be a college student to actually be taking college classes. Shouts to all the kids out there. If you're doing that right now, do that.
Yeah.
If you're not, I'm sorry. If you are doing it, good for you. If you're not doing it, look into it. Helps you out a little bit in life. Like I said, get those GEs out of the way quickly.
Yep.
And again, my man Clovis, 5 associate degrees, 12 years
Savage.
Old. This guy is going places.
Shout out to Clovis.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to make, like, I feel like in the next AI or something.
He's
going to
cure something out there.
If he doesn't, Clovis, I'm mad at you.
Don't get me started with AI.
Get Clovis, you better cure cancer. That's all I'm going to say.
Something.
All right?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
It's up to you, bro.
I bet you if he cures cancer, they probably kill him.
I mean,
they don't want to cure cancer.
That's true.
Yeah. Conspiracies, Gores.
I mean, hopefully it's not just like a philosophy that he brings up. I mean, at least do something worthwhile.
Hey, and the dude travels too. He's got a full-on kid lifestyle too. Plays basketball. Has been to the Middle East. His parents are doing wonderful things, and he's doing wonderful things with that life right now. So, shouts to you, Clovis, and make me feel inadequate out there, and for the rest of us too.
Clovis
Hung right there. Appreciate you. That's the news.
All right.
Each week we class up the show a bit. We bring in our foreign correspondent to cover the sports that we are not paying nearly enough attention to. So with that, we bring in Aaron. Hello!
How's it going, guys?
What's up, girl?
We're doing pretty fantastic around here. Let's talk some hockey. Puck yeah!
You know, Jero, I'll say, I think you and I are pretty good at this hockey prediction thing. We've got Florida up 2 games versus the Hurricane, and the Golden Knights up a 2 games versus, unfortunately, Dallas. I was really hoping that the Kraken would pull it off, but no dice. I think the most interesting thing, though, is that all four games have gone into overtime.
Glorious.
The Panthers' first game versus the Hurricane went into quadruple overtime.
Your legs must fall off, I feel, after that. You can't, like, lift them at all.
They played two hockey games.
Yeah. I walk up these stairs, and I get huffing puffing.
Tired.
I don't know how.
It's a lot of stairs.
I'm feeling pretty good shape right now, and I still huff and puff walking up those stairs. Yeah. I can only imagine what those guys are feeling after that type of a game.
Crazy.
They played an additional 79 minutes and 47 seconds. It was the sixth longest game in Stanley playoff history, which is crazy. The sixth longest. And they played an additional 79 minutes.
Wow.
That's unreal.
So,
I wonder what Brad, can you look at what the longest playoff game is?
I've got it for you. It was 116 minutes, 30 seconds. It was March 24th, 1936. The Red Wings versus a team I haven't heard of, the Maroon.
The good old Milwaukee Maroon. No idea. So Maroon 5 got their name, actually.
Wow. All right.
I'm sorry,
feeling
guys.
Good, though. I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm feeling good.
I am as well. The Panthers I've been rooting for all season, especially after their disappointment in the playoffs last year after winning the President's Cup, or President's Trophy, I'm sorry. I've been rooting for them all season, and the Golden Knights I'm a big fan of as well. To be a new franchise and to be in the conference finals again, this is the second time in 4 years?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
I was just thinking about this the other day. Wouldn't it be easier for a GM to work with the team with a clean slate instead of inheriting a bad team, making it better?
Typically, no, but it seems to be.
I don't know.
You look at Seattle, you look at Las Vegas, they both have been pretty successful right off the bat.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just a thought. Sorry, continue.
It's such a great look for the NHL to have two expansion teams go so far into the playoffs so early on. I really hope that the other leagues look at this and bring some teams to Salt Lake City, guys.
I also want to say, for the rest of the hockey world out there, the South rules right now. And non-hockey areas are doing the best. So suck it, East Coast and Canada, okay?
Canada.
That's it. And I'm sorry, Florida, I know you're on the East Coast, but you're not East Coast hockey,
Yes.
You're East Coast. You're your own coast
sunny
right
beachy.
Now. You're your own coast right there. And hockey, all your hockey lovers out there, eat your hearts out. This is what you get. Vegas, Dallas, Carolina, and Florida. Those are your final teams. Wow. Not one of those places gets snow.
That's
Dallas,
right.
I mean, Dallas sometimes.
Maybe Dallas got it last year.
Okay, well, that's on a rarest of occasions.
You're right.
Happen.
It doesn't snow every year.
None of those places get snow on a consistent basis.
Yes, you're right.
Sorry, Aaron. I apologize. I'm just shocked and awe that this is where we're going with hockey.
Do you want to move on to the Preakness, Aaron?
We could just quickly mention there was a 148th running of the Preakness. The horse that won was National Treasure. I love horse names. No Triple Crown because Madge, who won the Kentucky Derby, got third. The trainer was Bob Baffert, and he just came off a suspension. Jockey was John Velasquez. And we have Belmont Stakes June 10th.
There you have it. Right. Now, let's jump over to the PGA Championship because Rudy, I'm not going to say he won a bunch of money because the IRS might be listening, but Rudy was right.
As I've been bred all year, bro.
You've been killing it with your...
It's my fourth winner this year.
You've been killing it there.
It's stupid.
So
it really
for
is.
The folks who didn't catch the PGA Championship, can you get the people caught up on what they missed?
Yeah, I mean, I think the two big storylines was that Brooks Koepka won his fifth major.
Yeah.
It's his first major in 3 years, and it's actually his third time winning the PGA Championship. That's a pretty unusual, win. It's only Tiger and I think Jack Nicklaus who's done that, or maybe it was Arnold Palmer. Sorry, I forgot to write it down. But congrats to Brooks. I love seeing a live golfer win.
Yep.
First time in the PGA in a major.
Yeah, don't love Brooks. He's, as Jarrow says, kind of a train wreck.
Yes, I love it.
So so thrilled that a LIV golfer won the PGA Championship. But great for the PGA. We had this club pro, Michael Block, a nobody, yes, not on the tour, finishes tied for 15th and gets a hole-in-one on the 15th hole. And on the last day, he's playing with Rory McIlroy. Yeah. Like, what an incredible story.
Yeah, that, and he had to hit par in the last hole to qualify for next year's tourney, which mm-hmm. was actually pretty cool, too.
And he dropped the putt. It was beautiful to watch. He absolutely dunked that hole-in-one.
Yes.
No bounce, just right into the hole. And for me, it was awesome because that's right as I turned on the PGA Championship, was right as he was teeing off and dropped that. And it was just like, wait, who is this guy? And then I start texting with the boys. Shout out to the Cash Me Out podcast. Texting with those boys because they're just golf nerds. And they're freaking out, telling me the whole backstory that he's just a club pro. And just
46 years old, never played on the tour before.
Yeah,
this is very much of a Tin Cup moment right there. So for anyone out there, need a good movie, Tin Cup, you're welcome.
Solid movie.
Kevin Costner at his finest.
Appreciate the contribution there.
You're welcome. Hey, had to. All right,
Aaron, you got anything else for us?
That's it, guys.
All right, we'll get you on some questions next week. We're running out of time.
So real quick, Aaron, multiple champions, Walter Hagen and Jack Nicklaus had 5 wins. Tiger had 4. Brooks Koepka ties Sam Snead and Gene Sarazen at 3 wins as well.
All right.
And Kurt Kitayama tied for 4th.
Woo! Yeah!
Hey, Chico!
Plus 7,000. Just listen to your boy. He'll make some money, man.
There you have
Let's
it.
Let's go.
Aaron, excellent as always. We'll catch up with you next week. We'll get some questions in next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
Later, Aaron. All right. Well, let's stay on that tip, and let's do this. Rudy, 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 Rudy!
It's just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy.
I'm gambling again.
Just listen to my golf bets. A&A's over.
Yep.
Except for last week, we went 2-5. It's okay.
It's
not
going
to win every week, but we're still at 71% for the year. So what are we going to do this week? We're going to bet the over every day.
You're not coupling that with the like money line for the opposing team against the A's? You're not,
I am betting -1.5.
Okay.
Whoever plays against them
gotcha.
As well.
You might as well put them all together.
100%.
You know?
No, yeah. I'm not parlaying them.
Yeah, you don't want to lose out.
No.
That's smart.
That's
smarter.
That's
being smarter.
Yes.
Parlays are for the weak-minded.
Oh, yes, yeah. It is.
That's me right
it's
there.
It's always nice. There's always a parlay.
So
Everyone's throwing that. I'm doing parlays as well.
For people who are serious out there and you actually want to make money, follow Rudy's advice.
Yes, so A's over every damn day. Every day. Every game. And, if you listened to me last week, Koepka with the win at plus 2,500. Kitayama, I bet him at plus 7,000 a top 5 finish, finishing 4th. So do the math. That's had an epic day yesterday. So I'm going to keep this train going. This week we're at the Charles Schwab Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I got Scheffler at plus 400. The odds aren't there, but dude is hot, man.
Yeah.
Dude is playing out
Very
of this
attractive.
World.
Oh,
Scotty Scheffler?
You're talking about his game.
Both.
Oh, yes.
Were you saying
yes,
Scotty Scheffler is attractive?
Yeah, he was saying he's hot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that handsome man. He's so hot.
Really bad joke. I apologize.
Scotty Scheffler plus 400. Victor Hovland, another dude I had. That's why I didn't have to hedge yesterday, because that was a dream scenario. When you have your two golfers that you bet on to win it all and they're going head-to-head, that is just, you're going to win regardless. Victor Hovland at plus 1,600. 1,600. I got Morikawa again, plus 1,700. And I'm going to roll with Kitayama again. Kitayama is at plus 6,000 to win it all. So if you cut that in half, that's 3,300 for a top 5 finish. A top 10 finish at 3,500. And you know what? I've been rolling with the Fowler this whole year, and he's not showing it to me. So I'm just going to stay away from him.
I'll say about time.
Yeah.
Good.
Tired of losing money on Fowler. Ricky, you need to show me something, boy.
Do you have any odds on what Michael Block's are to the Charles Schwab?
I highly doubt it.
He did get an invitation to that tournament.
He did. Let's see if he's on this. And he is... He's not on this list.
I would say maybe if you do find some odds, maybe for make
no,
the cut.
I'm sure he will be
He'll
on
be
it.
Eventually, yeah. He's got to be, right?
Yes.
They won't take money from anybody.
Through Vegas, for sure. Just not through...
your place.
Yes.
But so, either way, I feel like maybe there'd be some good money on it, maybe just to make the cut.
That'd there's dude on this list that are plus 50,000, so he has to be on this list. It's just not mine. Anywho, Hovland, Kitayama, Scotty Scheffler, and that's it. And A's over every damn day. Every game, let's go. Get this money, boy.
All right.
All righty, sir. All right, North State update.
Ready to go.
Let's go.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State update.
All right, it is time for the North State update once again. It was PV going to the championship playing against Chico High after they beat Foothill 7-3. But once again, PV comes out on top 4-0. We're just going to keep that train rolling. They got us in the beginning of the year or the regular season. They broke that 19-game win streak. We're starting a new one here. Two games in the playoffs against them. One more in the regular season. That's a 3-game win streak, boys. So, PV, congratulations. You won the D2 Super Regional. I don't believe that they're going any further. I think it's just your region and that's it. But if they go any further, I will let you know. And going into softball, Foothill took on Chico and they beat them 3-2. They faced off against Pleasant Valley. It was a close one, an absolute barn burner. Foothill got the first run in the fourth inning, but P was not able to respond until the sixth inning. Bottom of the sixth, they score two runs and hold on for the 2-1 victory, and they win the D3 softball Super Regional. So congratulations to both PV teams on a great season, and congratulations on all these high schoolers on an amazing season this year. And once again, congratulations to the seniors as you graduate and move on. I hope you guys enjoyed your last year, some of you in sports, and you had a good time around it, and you enjoyed college. So that's my North State update.
Shout out to our boy Kyle Lester. Sorry if I mispronounced your last name. I just graduated from Chico State. Woo! I haven't listened to our show. So yeah, congrats, dude.
Congrats.
Oh, you should say to all of them.
All of them.
Class of 2023. Yes. Salute everyone to you.
Peyton Teets. Congrats.
It's a good place right there to be.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, but do they have five associate
degrees? No. All of us are inadequate. Right?
That's true.
Clovis Hung is putting it on us right now.
That's true.
He's living up to that name.
I got a player haters ball. It'll be quick. I'm going to make it as quick as possible. But I owe an apology to one of you.
The player haters ball.
Oh, man. Hey.
Why you wanna play a hate on me?
The pitch clock. At the beginning of the baseball season, our friend Statman Brad here lamented his hatred for the pitch clock, which we ridiculed him for relentlessly.
Wow.
I said to Statman Brad, as he struggled to articulate exactly why he hated the pitch clock, aside from batters and pitchers needing a little more time to lock in, that you need to adapt with the times, bruh. I was wrong. We all argued that baseball is better for being shorter. Over this weekend, I was in Dallas with my family, and at one point I put the Giants game on in the background while we were all hanging out. The innings flew by, and soon the game was over. My family, one by one, started leaving the room. Even though no one was locked into the game, the ending of the game signified the end of our time in this moment. And in this moment, it hit me. I understood what Statman Brad was trying to articulate. The reason he hated the pitch clock is simple. It's the absence of time. Time has been sped up for all of us. Time is the most important currency we all have in this life. My grandfather once told me that a life well lived would be revealed when our time is up. Instead of wanting more time, we are ready to go because we lived our life so completely we had nothing left to give. And the TikTokization of our current society, no one has any damn time for anything. I know I sound like an old man, I get it. But we are overstimulated, unhealthy, overstressed, overly fearful, and running out of time at all times. We just need to get on to the next. America isn't a country. America is a business, and business is a booming. Meanwhile, America's employees are tired. We are unhealthy. We show up to keep the trains running on time every day. It costs us our mental health, our relationships, and our meaning for breathing, but money don't stop, so neither do we. Statman Brad doesn't hate the pitch clock. He hates that he has an hour less to spend with Statman Dad, that he has an hour less to spend with us, talking trash about the Dodgers, building bonds, talking about life, talking more trash to one another, again, building that brotherhood that is our show. Statman Brad has one less hour to enjoy eating a dog or perhaps some peanuts, garlic fries at the ballpark because we all have to get on with our lives. Statman Brad doesn't hate the pitch clock because it ruins the game. Statman Brad hates the pitch clock because it's yet another reminder that we are all running out of time. Baseball is meant to be shared. Baseball is the national pastime because we used to spend that time with one another. We used to discuss baseball, family, life, politics, and everything else while the game was on. Vince Scully didn't die from old age. He left because while we are all in a rush to speed things up, he was always there to remind us it's okay to take time and enjoy America's pastime. And even the great Vin couldn't save us from ourselves. Statman Brad, I owe you an apology, sir. You were absolutely right. I was wrong. The pitch clock sucks.
I wish I could have said it that great. That was well said. Thank you. And you are forgiven.
All right, thank you.
I'm glad that you saw my side on that one.
Do you want to talk soccer or you want to do Grinds My Gears? Because, again, I left you no time.
We are staying up. We are staying up. That's all I gotta say.
All right! Yeah.
You got one more game though, right?
Yeah. You gotta win that.
You gotta win that one.
You don't have to win, but we need Leicester to lose. And if we draw, if Leicester and Leeds lose, we're fine. But Everton right now, you got a big point. Big point. You're mean, you beautiful bastard. I love you. You got a beautiful point over in Wolverhampton, and right now, if we win, we're good. The next game, but a draw. We need some help.
Mm-hmm. So it's not win.
Win. Just win. Just win, baby.
Just win, baby.
And this is the last game.
Last game. Starting at 8:30 on Saturday. Woo. A lot of fun things are happening. Shouts to Man City for finally being crowned champions. Arsenal, again, you bottled it. You bottled it so bad. But Man City, champions 3 times in a row, 5 times in the last 6 years. A tremendous run for this team. And Pep Guardiola is doing. Chance for the treble. But Man United, if you don't want to see that happen, you want to be the only English team to ever have that, take them down in the FA Cup final. That's all you got to do. June 10th, I believe, that is the FA Cup final. Foot and mouth, baby. Last week of the premiership. Got to also give it quick shouts. Bruce, I'm pretty much doing a foot and mouth right now. Shouts to Borussia Dortmund. Pretty much, if they win their next game, they're going to win the Bundesliga, taking away from the German giants of Bayern Munich.
About time, dude.
Finally. But Thank you. Win next week.
Win
next week, Dortmund, and it's yours. And once again, I did talk about Napoli and their thing. Juventus, once again, they got their point deduction added on again. They had it, got it back to them, then stripped them again, and now they're out of all European playoff spots. They have a couple games to go with a chance to maybe move into them, but still, nobody likes Juve. Sorry, Juve. Nobody likes you.
Except our boy Will.
Except for our boy Will. And like everyone in Italy.
Yeah.
I'm a Juve fan because of Will.
Because of Will, yeah. But, yeah. So, big world, big news in the soccer world. It's fantastic. Last week is going to be a lot will determine if I'm going to be a happy person for summertime or going to bury my head in the sand.
I checked out block stats or odds at plus 42,000 for him.
There you go. Okay.
For him to win. And he's plus 100 to make the cut. So they're expecting him to play bad. Well.
Yeah. There you go. So,
yeah.
All right.
Right. We can do I got grinds my gears.
I got one too. Yeah, we'll start with
it.
You.
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Shorts that have pockets inside their pockets. I don't know what this new trend is, but in the men's fashion world, I know women, you don't get it because you don't get pockets. But right now, I'm getting 2 pockets in 1 pocket. I don't want that.
Just one solid.
One pocket. I don't need to put something inside my pocket. It's going inside my pocket to be inside my pocket, not another pocket in my pocket. Why are we doing all this? So whenever I put my phone into my pocket, it gets caught in the other pocket and doesn't go down all the way. You're ruining my shorts. Stop putting pockets in pockets. I don't need it. I have a pocket there for a reason. I don't need another pocket inside my pocket. Makes no sense.
Except for the stash pocket.
That's a different pocket. Should be inside that pocket.
pockets.
That's why cargo pants are amazing.
There you go. Give it on the side or something.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Can we please put more bathrooms at an airport?
Yes!
Why are there so few bathrooms at the airport? There's like 40 dudes in every bathroom at every airport across America right now. I can guarantee you, if you need to use a stall, if you got to go number two-two, if you got to deuce-deuce, you're going to have to wait.